Have a little bit of a different Sunday morning time together. We have a couple guests from Germany. We're going to be hearing from them in a few minutes, but we're really glad you're here, Rainer and Philip. And you are among friends. Absolutely. But what I want to do is I want to set them up. Earlier this week, you can see behind me, earlier this week I was studying the scripture. I was praying for the sermon this morning, and then all of a sudden I was watching a video on Instagram about the Guinness Book of World Records hula hoop record-breaking thing. And I knew that, so there it is. Amazing. Let me say that again. I was studying the scripture and praying, and then all of a sudden I was watching a hula hooper break the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how one led to the other, but once I remembered what I was supposed to be doing, it occurred to me that I'm probably not the only person who gets distracted. The scriptures declare that God is working all around the world. And this is the focus of where we're heading as a church through the next few weeks of the summer. The scriptures declare that God is working all around the world, and the scriptures declare that God is speaking to us, inviting us, communicating with us, giving a vision of who we are and what we're supposed to do. He's given each of us gifts and said, I bless you, go bless other people. We believe this. He's sending us out on mission, and I'm watching somebody spin a 17-foot, 8-inch hula hoop around his waist to break the record, and I'm saying, God, I'm a little busy right now. Can you come back later? But if we can hear, if we can catch a vision for what God is saying to us and what he's calling us to do, then this vision will pull us out of the distractions. It'll push us past indifference or forgetfulness, and it can light a fire in our hearts to join God in his mission to bless the world. That's where we're going this summer, you guys. And I love this church. I love that our church is on fire for Jesus. I love supporting the unique ways that each of you individually join God's mission, because he's given each of you individual gifts to do this, gifts that bless other people and are deeply satisfying for you. I also love the ways that our church together joins and partners in God's mission, because all of us, we get distracted, myself included. And so I want to challenge us to set our distractions aside, set our phones aside, at least for a time, and to focus on God's mission around the world. So where we're going to go in the scriptures is this summer, we're going to take a look at the final words of each of the four gospels, how Jesus sends out the disciples. Each gospel has a different aspect, takes a different look at, records a couple different things about what Jesus says. And so we're going to focus on those for the next several weeks. We're also going to take a look at the book of Jude. Jude is just a tiny letter right towards the end of the Bible, and it's written by the half-brother of Jesus to the churches that are being planted all around. And so we're just going to walk through Jude kind of verse by verse, understand what it says. It is a wild book, and so we're going to enjoy that. To help us do all this, we have a few special guests, like I mentioned. So let me show you what's coming up. On July 5th, today, we have Philip and Rainer from Germany. Next week, Scott Nelson is coming. Scott Nelson is the founding pastor of our church. Pretty awesome. And it'll be great to have Scott here. And he's going to talk to us about church planting and the significance of that in God's mission around the world. And then we have 2 weeks in the book of Jude. And then in August, we have Sarah Benavides, our missions coordinator, and the Mexico ministry team. They will be back from their trip. And they'll be sharing with us highlights from the partnership with the church in Saltillo, Mexico. And then I'll be talking a bit more about the international community that's right here. So you don't always have to go out. Sometimes the world comes to you. And Modesto is a very international place. And then on August 16th, Grant and Miho are coming. Grant and Miho are from Japan. They are some global personnel that our church supports. And they'll be coming to give us some updates. So that's where we're heading in this focus of God around the world. Pretty exciting stuff. Let me explain a little bit more about these global workers. So Covenant Grove is a part of a denomination called the Evangelical Covenant Church. It's a group of churches across North America and a group of churches around the world. And we have what's called a global pathway. The global pathway is a path to join God's mission in various places. So it starts like this. Yeah, I think the clicker for some reason isn't working, so I appreciate you guys helping me out. I'll just set it aside. There's four aspects to the global pathway. The first one is 1 to 2 week trips. The organization within our denomination is called Merge, and they take 1 to 2 week trips lots of places around the world. Our Mexico ministry team is doing one of these trips, partnering with them. And they're for you if you want to, if you like travel and you don't want to just vacation, you want to do a little bit of service and partnership and learning from another culture, you can sign up for a Merge trip. If you want a bit of a longer experience, we have 2 to 3 month internships. It's called the Global Internship, and you want to kind of dive in a bit more, eat a bit more of that good food in that country, and experience it. So as an intern, you would partner with a church a bit more and get involved in ministry and grow. You try out the Global Internship for 2 to 3 months. You say, hey, I want more, and I've got a little bit of time. We offer 1 to 3 year programs. You'd be called a global personnel, and you would really dive in deeper into learning a language, into investing in a church and a ministry organization, and learning from them and just partnering with what they're doing. And it's pretty great to experience what God is doing in a different culture, because we get our one style of life and faith, and you go to another place and there's more, because God is infinite and no one culture can fully encompass all the infinite God, and it's like all these different groups, all these different countries are worshiping God and reflecting different aspects of God's character. Say you've tried that, and you're like, this is good, this is for me, I really like this lifestyle, where you can go on. The final part of the pathway is 3+ years, where you say, I'm doing this, I'm committed, this is my calling, I'm all in. And so our denomination supports people, encourages people to try all these things out. I love that our Mexico team is taking this first step. Pretty neat. Absolutely. Absolutely. Philip is one of those individuals who is committed to this 3+ year global personnel vocation. Now, how does this all work? All of this takes a lot of prayer, a lot of discernment, and it takes a lot of finances. And so the way God has set things up, as you read the Bible, there's a lot. Jesus talks about money quite a bit. And here's how we do it. We tithe. Tithe is a real Christian-y word. And it traditionally refers to 10%, giving 10% of our finances. I don't know if you tithe. I don't know how much you tithe if you do. As a lead pastor, that's not something I'm aware of. Here's why we tithe. We tithe because we want to declare that we depend on God and not on money. God, even though I get this paycheck, I declare that I depend more on you, and so I'm going to give you a portion of that. We also tithe to commit to God's mission in this church and the mission that our church is doing. Now, I'll be honest, as inflation and the cost of things rise, and pay raises don't rise the same level, if you know what I mean. Minimum wage is not it's not matching that. It can be hard to tithe. There's a lot of things I would like to do with my money besides tithe it. And yet, I want to live a lifestyle where I depend more on God than on money. I want to live a lifestyle where I commit to the mission of this church. So I invite you to tithe and to support what God's doing. Now, one more step. As a whole church, our church tithes. Our church gives 10% of what's given of our income, and we tithe it. We give it to our denomination, and it's used for work around the nation and around the world. And we do this because as a church, we want to declare that we depend on God and not money, that God is our source of life, and that money is just like a tool, it's just a gift that God gives us to bless other people. And then we also tithe because we want to commit to what God is doing and we want to join his mission financially. I will admit there is a lot of things I, as the lead pastor, would like to do with all the money that we tithe. We could do so many different things here in this church if we kept that money. And yet we tithe it because we want to depend on God. We want to see God's work around the world. So all of this, all the tithing, it helps fund the global pathway. All right. If you're new here, you need to know that Covenant Grove tithes and does all of its things because we are a faith-filled, prayer-led, big-thinking, risk-taking church. That is who we are. And it is wonderful to be that. We can pass on to the next slide, I think. Oh, yeah. At our Mexico Ministry fundraiser just last Sunday, we raised $8,738. Pretty great. One of the pies went for $400. Someone shared with me the cheesecake that they bought. I was at the same table as the cheesecake. They bought it for $130-something. That was the most expensive cheesecake I've ever eaten. And it was worth it. It was delicious. This amount, it came from the dessert auction. It came from the raffle tickets. It came from people just donating anyway. They didn't even get a pie, and they still gave money. And this is on top of tithes. Remarkable to live this generously. Some of the Mexico ministry team people, you know, they've gotten donations contributed. And I just think, praise God, we're a generous church. We're a faith-filled, prayer-led, big-thinking, risk-taking church. What a community to be part of. I love this church. We believe that God is at work with every ethnicity, inviting every person so that every person can become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And we're joining God's mission in every way we can. Yes, we live in a great nation. Yes, we're blessed in many, many ways. But we also believe that every nation is blessed. Every nation is deeply loved by God. Every ethnicity is deeply loved, bearing God's image. And we want to do what we can to support that blessing happening. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So today, before Philip and Reiner come on stage, let us open up to one of the gospel accounts. And I want to just read the story and then make two brief comments. And then I'll hand over the mic. Today, let's turn to the final chapter in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 46 to 52. And in these final verses, Jesus shows us his message of his mission and his method of his mission. Jesus shows us the message and the method. So grab your Bible, and if it's a chair rack in front of you, it's on page 880. And if you're able, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 46. And Jesus said, "Yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we believe that you inspired Luke, the gospel writer, to record these last words of Jesus accurately. And would you help us now to hear them? Hear them deeply, God. And would they awaken in us a passion, something that you are planted in our hearts, Lord, a passion to follow you and join in what you're doing. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, here is the message of Jesus' mission. The message of Jesus' mission is the Messiah would suffer and would die, but on the third day he would rise again from the dead. Therefore, because he died, because he rose again from the dead, there is now forgiveness of sins to everybody who will repent. Repent, a Christian word. It means to turn around. It means to change your mind. You were pursuing one way of life. Repentance is going back this way. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you can now repent and receive forgiveness of sins. Receive forgiveness of the things that you do that bring hell into the world. And the people who do things to you that bring hell into your life, they too can receive forgiveness. And here's the thing about receiving forgiveness is that when you receive forgiveness, it shifts you and allows you to pursue a path of wholeness. The things that we do, the sin that we do damages us, breaks us, puts holes in our lives. And when we're forgiven by Jesus Christ, we're changed, we're shifted onto a path to pursue wholeness. And friends, on that path of wholeness, we discover joy, and we discover deep love, and we discover true peace. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the message of his mission. And here's the method. The method that Jesus tells us is this: proclaim in all authority his name to all the nations as witnesses filled with the Holy Spirit. As witnesses. See, this just happened. I'm a witness to it. Let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. Let me tell you how it's changed me or my family or my friendships. I just want to point it out to you. What do you think about that? And to proclaim it, like we sang the name of Jesus. I declare, I proclaim that Jesus Christ has died. He has risen from the dead, and everyone has forgiveness available to them. All you have to do is repent. Amen. That is the method of Jesus Christ. He chooses to partner with us. Jesus could fly over the world with a loudspeaker proclaiming it, and he chooses to give us that opportunity to join him and proclaim his mission. Where are we to proclaim it? Jesus says, to all the nations. To all the nations. Because the good news is that no person is less than. All are valued equally. No nation is more holy. All are equally created and loved by God. Even if some people reject him, they're all created to receive the good news and to be welcomed into God's family. Amen. And with that, I would like to invite up our friends from Germany and Sarah Benavides to take us into what's next.
Well, it is my pleasure this morning to introduce, and I've been working on it. It's like, I was told, it's like rye bread. So I say Reiner.
Perfect.
Hey! Okay, if you were here for first service, I maybe stumbled through a bit.
You did two times a great job.
Thank you. Reiner and Philip. So welcome. So I'm Sarah Benavides, a missions coordinator here, and it is my pleasure to chat with you for just a few minutes this morning. So before we get started on our questions, tell us your name really quick and really briefly about why you're here. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Philip Bullen. I'm a missionary from Covenant Grove. I serve in Kiel, Germany, and I am the associate pastor at International Kiel Church.
Thank you. Thank you, Philip. Welcome. You are among friends. And Reiner. Look at me. Oh.
you're going better and better. It's amazing. First of all, thank you so much for having me here. I'm very happy to got this opportunity to come to the States and to visit the States and to meet people in normal everyday life and on Sunday. It's so nice. My name is Reiner. I'm from Germany, born and raised. You can hear this in my lovely accent. And I'm the lead pastor of International Kiel Church, and we are together here, and that's very cool that I can join in this mission trip from Philip.
Yes, well, welcome. Welcome to California. It's our first time in California, so we are happy that you're here. So, Philip, it has been a while since you've been at Covenant Grove, and there are many new members and new faces. Folks have not met you yet. So, we are excited to hear a little bit about what God is doing, about his faithfulness. So if you are able to share what's been going on in, the Volan family at this stage.
Sure. So my wife, Stephanie, and then my children, they send their greetings. They say hello. Unfortunately, they couldn't be here today, but you get me. So hopefully that's enough.
It works.
Yes. So we are serving and living in Germany in the very north of the country and loving it so much. The last time I was here, I had three daughters. Now I have three daughters and a son. So that's a new addition.
Awesome.
Yes. And they are thriving and... Yeah, I feel so privileged that I get to do this ministry with all of you. It's not an alone thing. It's all of us working together. But yeah, I will share a little bit about what's going on after this little interview.
Perfect. Okay, well, we're looking forward to it. So I have a question here. So we would really like to hear a story. We love stories at Covenant Grove. And so we would love to hear about a specific person or maybe a moment where you clearly saw God's moving in Kiel in Germany. Is there something that God has recently been doing at work in your family?
I could share hundreds of stories, but if I can only pick one, it's actually my friend Shahrus. He is originally from Iran, and we met him whenever we moved to Kiel in Germany. And because of all kinds of political tensions, he was going to be deported. And in Germany, that's a whole thing. But because he is from Iran and he's a Christian, if he were to go back to Iran, he would be killed.
Oh.
That is a thing. So he had to leave. And in this process of us grieving with him, leaving Germany, the country that he loves, having to go somewhere else because there was no other options, we had him over the day before he left for a meal to pray over him, to show him that God loves him, our family loves him. And at the end, I saw my older daughter, my oldest daughters, or all of them for that matter, I should say, a 17-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 10-year-old go upstairs to their bedrooms. And I'm like, what is this about? Why are they leaving? And so then they come downstairs as we were saying goodbye, and they said, Shahrus, we want to give you this money. We want to bless you. We want to make sure you can get where you're going safely. And look how the kingdom of God is opening up through children,
wow,
through teenagers, through younger generations saying, I want to bless you because this is important because God loves you. And we sent him off, and he is now safely in England, and he is doing well. He has found a new community and is thriving. But we praise God that he was in our lives and has transformed us, and hopefully we have also transformed him, and that he has seen the love of God being flowing out through all of you supporting us as a family. So this,
wow,
is a story not about us, but all of us doing,
wow,
this.
Wow. Amen. What a testimony. What a testimony of the relationships that are being built in your community, in your family, and just how that is being impacted through the generations. That is encouraging. All right. Reiner. I'm really practicing. Reiner. Okay. This question is for you. So I'm curious as to what are some challenges that are being faced in Germany, specifically as it relates to the church and the people that you're serving there. Tell us a bit about the culture, the climate, Germany.
Yeah. I say a challenge is really that the German culture and the Germans are got secularized. I did not
secularized, right?
Thank you. You did a better job to practice my name.
It's the same, right?
I practice this vocabulary. Secularized.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
and it's very diverse,
mm-hmm,
society.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it, of course, leads to differences, to problems. And for church, if you go on the street and people ask, what do you know about Easter? Or what do you know about, what is Christmas all about? They have creative answers, but I don't think they match to the really meaning of Christmas and so on. That is a huge problem, and of course that arises questions and tricky things. Maybe you have something about diversity. You have things in the States as well, and you know all the challenges about that. But on the other hand, there's a beauty in it from my side, I would say, because church can reach out, can do work mission,
mm-hmm,
to a lot of different people. and can find a special gap or a special need for a special group in Germany. So we don't have to serve each and everyone. We can see what is the special need for those or that group, and we can serve them. That's very cool. And here's a point for me. I would say it's key church. Such a thing. So, that with the missionaries, they came 2017, 2018 to found this church. They saw this need for internationals in Kiel. Kiel is a city with a huge university and with a lot of people who are coming to Kiel for study time or for working time for 2 years or something like that. But there wasn't any speaking English speaking offering. Okay. So, and they started this to serve this particular group in Kiel. And that's cool. And above Hamburg, we are the only ones. So
wow.
From Hamburg to Denmark, it's a two and a half hour drive, and we are the only ones in this field, in this area. So
wow, that's
and that's
impressive.
Fantastic for me, and is cool, and is a good chance for churches to find a special group of people with a special need.
That is amazing. So your church is very intentional in serving diverse cultures, diverse communities within Kiel in the international church. I think you had shared that there is a certain number of different cultures that have been served in your church, right?
Yeah. We count it.
Uh-huh.
We have a map in church where everyone can pin a pin in when we have a new country, and it is 84 different countries,
wow,
different cultures. They came and lived in Kiel, and we served them. Yeah.
Wow. So 84 different countries that this church in Kiel has served.
And it is really around the world, from Brazil, Argentina, Peru, the States, to Europe, and to Africa, Nigeria, come to my mind, Uganda, to India, to Pakistan. So it's really around the world.
That's beautiful. It is so intentional and beautiful that you are serving the church there. Wow. Amazing. Thank you for sharing that. So I know you have a few slides, something to share, and I think we're going to attempt the clicker and see if we can get through a few slides. But share with us what is happening a bit deeper and move forward. So,
Okay. Yeah,
there you are. You have power.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Good. All right. So this is my family. I'm obviously right there, kind of in the middle, and then my wife Stephanie is next to me. My daughter, Gabrielle, who's 17, she is next to me. The other side is Charlotte. She is 13. The very bottom is our youngest daughter, Madeline. And then the new addition is Asher. He is 2.5. So we have grown as a family since we've last been here, and I'm so glad to be back. I shared this with the at the last service. Whenever I was planning my time to come to the States, and I knew Reiner was going to be coming with me for a short time, I said, we have to go to Covenant Grove. I kid you not.
Love it.
I planned it this way. We were in different places in California, and this is his last stop intentionally. I love you guys. My family has been so grateful for all of you. So that is a little bit about my family. In the past 11 years, since we originally went to Germany, we served in refugee ministries with church planting. We have also served in a German-speaking church. And then 3 years ago, we pivoted and we went to this international English-speaking church, this international Kiel church with Reiner, just to give you a brief update of where we have been. And then, let's see. Good. I want to share a little bit of what's going on at our church. Our church is a very young Gen Z church. Reiner and I are the oldest two people there. So this is a whole new level and a whole really cool experience for us. Super brief. Some of our friends, our congregants, they come up and they say, oh, this is so great. You gave me this great advice. It reminds me of my dad. And I say, although I understand the sentiment behind this, say like brotherly advice or uncle-y advice, But it's so awesome because we are a church where we say we want you to try. We have all these people coming from everywhere, and we set the stage so that they can find a place to see where God is gifting them. We see in this picture here of this young lady, Jessica, She is from Pakistan, and in Pakistan, if you're a woman, you could never preach. And she preaches regularly at our church, and she is so gifted, and I love that we have given her this platform. We have said, we see these gifts in you, and we want to encourage that, and we want you to use that to bless the kingdom of God, and she is killing it.
Nice.
Not only do we have people who are newer, we have people who are older or more mature, perhaps better said. I stand corrected. We have a 65-year-old intern with us. How ironic and beautiful is that? A 65-year-old intern. And that's the picture in the middle of Joyce. She is part of this global pathway. And she said, yeah, I'm retired, but I don't want to stop there. I want to keep serving God in different ways. And she's doing that.
Cool.
And I love that we have this both ends of the spectrum, people who are just starting and people who already have a lot of knowledge and experience. God will use you wherever you are, whoever you are. Don't forget that.
That's right.
All right. So now a little bit more about our family. Again, Stephanie and I are so grateful that you have walked with us the past, goodness gracious, it's been 11 years, and this past 3 years have been very challenging for us. Stephanie was actually diagnosed with cancer. We had no idea about this. It was a complete shock. And we praise you. We thank you that you all have lifted us up in prayer, have walked with us, have supported us in so many ways. Thankfully, Stephanie, after 2 years, is now cancer-free. So we praise God for that. Yes. But it was a very up-and-down year. She was diagnosed. We had our son during this time. Our youngest daughter was actually hit by a bus. We went through a lot.
Wow.
And through this time, we saw how God was still walking with us, still using everything. And we talk about, if you've ever heard this passage from Joel, about the locusts have eaten and destroyed crops. And this is really what we felt 2024 was for us. But we know that God has redeemed this. Mm. He has shown us the beauty. He has shown us that he sees us and he sees you. Mm. You don't have to go through these extremes. It could be something much more minor. But God is walking with you and is loving on you. And he's going to restore all the difficulties, all the injustices, everything that has been painful and hard. He sees that, and he is going to restore it. So we wanted to give you this message. And lastly, we have some prayer requests we would love for you to pray over for the church that Pastor Reiner and I are serving in. For this wonderful 65-year-old intern, Joyce, that she can continue to sense how God is leading her in this time. For Stephanie, as she is also a pastor, as she discerns, as she decides, what does the next step look like in ministry for me now that this is all behind me? For our four beautiful and very full of energy kids, that they can sense God's love in everything that they're doing. After I go back to Germany at the end of the summer, I'll be taking a sabbatical. I would love for prayers for restoration and time to just recover so that I can fully invest again in the life of God's church. And then lastly, we are missionaries, and the church has done a phenomenal job supporting us. And we want to invite all of you, if you're interested in supporting us individually, we would love to have a conversation with you in the back after we're done. We are looking for prayer and financial partnership. So if you want to explore what this could look like in any way, come talk to me, and I would absolutely love that. So thank you for your love, for your attention, and for how you have blessed me and my family. That means the world to us.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Phil. That is amazing. Well, church, we are going to pray over Philip, and we're going to pray over, Reiner. Got it. I'm going to invite our leadership council up. to join us in prayer. And church, I invite all of you to also pray over the Volans and Reiner now as we just offer these prayer requests up to the Lord. Thank you. Church, please join me as we pray. God, I am so thankful for the Volans and for Reiner and for their obedience to your call, Lord, that they heard. They heard the call that you had on their life. And not only did they hear with open ears, God, but they had steadfast feet that were willing to walk, to run, and just to move forward, even when things were difficult, God. So thank you for them and for their obedience, and that they are sharing the work that you are doing in the lives of those in Kiel who are from all over the world, God. Your children, your, God, the ones that you love. We praise you and we thank you. And Lord, we specifically ask for a hedge of protection and guidance over Joyce. Yeah. God, I am just encouraged that she is moving forward on her calling as well. And so we thank you and we praise you for that. I also lift up Stephanie and her call. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness in her life. Thank you that she is a light to many. And God, I just lift her up as she continues to seek your face. Lord, for the children, for the sabbatical, and for the financial needs, God, we know that the storehouse of abundance that you have in heaven continues to flow over the Volans, both spiritually, emotionally, physically, and financially. God, we give it all to you. We praise you, and we thank you for this family, for this ministry. Continue to keep your hand over it, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. You are a good Father. In your holy name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
And in case you come to Germany, please contact us to visit us in Kiel. So, yeah, I am asked to spend the blessings. Thank you so much for this honor. And I do it in German and in English. Der Herr segne dich und behüte dich. Der Herr lasse sein Licht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Der Herr erhebe sein Angesicht auf dich und gebe dir Frieden. Geh hinaus in ein tägliches Leben, in diese Welt mit dem Segen des Herrn. And in English, the Lord keep you and bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Go in your daily life. Go into this world with the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.